And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Just talked to Jack Tate in Washington. He said when they found out they had the number 5 pick, first thing they did was send a copy of their playbook to all the guys they were interested in.
Right, we do the same thing.
No, they put a little special twist on it. They tape a $100 bill to the last page.
Why?
So when they're interviewing the guys and they ask them if they read the whole playbook, of course all of them are going to say yes. About half of them, they mention the money, but the other half don't. So when they tell them about the $100 bill, most of the guys get embarrassed. They get flustered. They fess up that they didn't read the whole thing. But ask me what your boy Bo Callahan did.
You know, I really hate playing this game with you.
Ask.
All right, what did Bo Callahan do?
Neither. He said that he'd read it, and then he didn't say anything.
So?
He didn't know about the $100 bill, Sonny. He lied. He never read the whole playbook.
So a lot of guys don't.
Yes, but when they confront him about it, and they tell him about the money, he lied again. He said something like, oh yeah, now I remember. Good one, guys. Jack said he is the only guy to tell the lie and then to have the balls to stand and stick up for the lie.
From the heart of Queens to the ears of sports fans everywhere, this is the Sports Kings from Queens, where the takes are bold, the bets are sharp, and the borough pride runs deep. Whether it's the gridiron, the diamond, the hardwood, or the links, we break it down with attitude, insight, and just the right amount of New York chaos. Strap in because the Kings are in session. That's right, I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Today's Thursday, April 23rd. This is episode 229. Catch us wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Give us a like. Share our page. Join our page. We want to hear from you. NFL draft is taking place as we speak. They're about 11 picks in. We'll get you updated on the Jets and Giants, how they're both doing. Knicks game 3 in action tonight. Tied 1-1. Yanks and Mets playing tonight. Let's get it started. Whew. NFL draft, guys.
Yep.
So 11 picks in. Jets had the second pick. Giants had the 5th pick and the 10th pick. Kev, let's start it off.
Well, the biggest shock of all was the Raiders taking Fernando Mendoza number 1.
Yeah, no one saw that one coming, Kev. No one saw that one.
No, but nobody saw that coming. That was a huge shock. And then number 2, the Jets with a big decision. Arvel Reese, David Bailey, Arvel Reese. Which way are they going to go? And they decided to go David Bailey. And Darren, I believe you like that pick a lot.
Well, I'm going to say that, and there's a reason behind it, okay? In the Jets' illustrious history, we have drafted 7 players from Ohio State University. 5 on offense, 2 on defense. The 2 on defense was the great Vernon Golston, who has as many sacks as I do in the NFL. The other one was Darren Lee, who's up for murder. We have not had success taking Ohio State defensive players. This is along with holding number 72, Chris Ward. This is, Garrett Wilson, who's really good. Like Garrett Wilson, Nick Mangold, great. On the defensive side, we have a guy wanted for murder and a guy that has as many sacks as I did, who was a freak of nature, which is the way they list Arvel Reese, right? He's just a freak of nature. Now, I think Arvel Reese is going to be really good. He might be better than Bailey. But with our track record, with taking Ohio State defensive players in the first round, I wanted Bailey because I know I have a shot of him being successful. Darren Lee was awful. Vernon Golston was awful. I'm taking my chances, Kev. There's no science behind it. Your thoughts, Kev?
Oh, just like a true Jet fan would think. I love you, Darren, for that.
It's a fact.
I didn't think of that angle of that. I mean, that's very unique. I give you that much. I like both players. I liked Reese a little bit more just for versatility, all-around play, a chance of maybe developing into a little bit of a pass rusher from the linebacker position. Bailey, you got to put him in there, and it wouldn't be surprised if he gets 10 sacks this year and winds up with a 10-year career with 10 sacks a year.
Yep.
At a floor. I mean, that's the type of player he is. Can he play the run? We'll see. That's been one big knock against him. But as far as getting to the passer, which we desperately needed, we had one guy with more than 4 sacks last year, and that was McDonald. And he had 8, and 4 of them came against the Browns. So we needed.
Yeah, it was one game. He was just one game.
We needed everything with a number 2 pick without a quarterback. I was fine with either Bailey or Reese. I would prefer Reese a little bit more, but I'm fine with Bailey.
Yeah, again, I know I'm a little bit, you know, off kilter with my reasoning, but at the same time, we're still going to get to watch Arvel Reese on a regular basis, Kev, because he went to who?
He went to the New York Giants as the fifth pick after Jeremiah Love went third to Arizona, which I think for Arizona, I mean, he's the best player on the board. I think he was the best player.
Listen, you don't hear anything negative about him. We watched him play. He's explosive as hell. And you know what? The thing is that they have James Conner, and he'll probably be something that they can get they can get some capital for, because James Conner, when healthy, is a really good back. So it's a good combination for them.
Yep. And then four with Tennessee, I thought with Saleh being there, I thought they would go defense. They surprised some people, I think, taking Cornell Tate from Ohio State.
They wanted to get their quarterback another big play receiver. They got the young quarterback in Ward, and they wanted to see what they could do. Right, G? That's really the only reason to do it.
Dable wanted another weapon.
Yep. And then that left Arvel Reese to fall to number five to the Giants. So we're kind of a big, you know, thing in New York here where you're going to be able to compare Bailey and Reese for at the very least the next 5 years through their rookie contracts. And we'll see which team wound up with a better pick. I mean, I think, you know, for the Giants' perspective, the fact that Reese was sitting there, I mean, that's a no-brainer at five. No,
it's a great pick. It's a home run for them.
Yep.
And again, both of us talked, and last week I was leading Reese, and all of a sudden I started just going through it. I'm like, you know, Darren Lee, you know, murder. Vernon Golston, specimen that can never get to the quarterback. Looked overmatched, just trying to figure out how to rush the passer. Trying to think about it, couldn't do it. And Arvel Reese is a different player than both of those guys, but I was like, I don't know. We haven't had a good track record. It's like taking Penn State running backs. You get nervous.
And then we had the first trade of the day. The Chiefs move up from 9 to 6, trade with the Browns to move back. And so, Darren, your Chiefs moved up to 6 to pick.
They picked the cornerback. Who's the best cover corner in the draft? Listen, they dealt McDuffie. They had to fill that hole, and they wanted to make sure that they didn't miss out on him, because there's a chance he goes 7. There's a chance he goes 8. So they had to sit there and make sure that they got him. He's the only lock of a cornerback in the first round at this point. The kid from Tennessee didn't play at all last year, so he probably goes in the first round, but you don't know. So this was the guy, Kev.
They lost 4 defensive backs, including 3 cornerbacks.
Yes.
They were desperate for a cornerback. And the fact that this year,
two of them to the Rams. The Rams rated them in the cornerback scenario.
And the fact that the Chiefs were able to take advantage of the one down year they had to move up from 9 to 6 to get the cornerback, the best cornerback in the draft. Great move for the Chiefs.
And they still have the 29th pick, so they still have that other pick that they used to having at the end of the first round.
Jake? It did cost them a third and a fifth, though.
Yep.
Move up 3 slots.
He may not have been there, though. If that's the guy that they had.
True.
And such a
position. I understand your point. It's a lot. They paid.
And then at 7 was your other team, Gino, the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, Sonny Styles.
Now with an arrow through the helmet, causing all sorts of mayhem. Go Commanders.
Sonny Styles, linebacker, Ohio State. Guy's big, athletic. I love it. Let him go. Let him play linebacker and run amok out there.
Listen, the Giants, the Commanders, I should say, not the Giants, have been known of having these old middle linebackers lately. Nice to have a young guy that
it is
for a few years that can run around and eat up the run and kind of lead the way. And Styles was unbelievably impressive, Gino, in the combine. He was unbelievably impressive on the field. Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer pick for me for Washington, I thought.
Yeah, that's who I was hoping for. I was very happy to see him select them.
Then to 8, yeah, another team that needed a weapon, the Saints. They took Jordan Tyson from Arizona State.
Yeah, listen, they seem to be sold on Shuff, and they wanted to get him someone to throw the ball to.
Yep.
Tyson, when healthy, was probably the best receiver in the draft, probably better than Tate. The only thing is, not as healthy. But if he stays healthy, he's very dangerous.
He's explosive when he's healthy. My goodness.
He's a great, great receiver.
Yeah.
A lot of injury concerns though between Tyson and Olave now.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Not the healthiest hand to be the league, let's put it that way.
But for the three games they're gonna be healthy, no one's gonna be able to guard him.
So Cleveland's traded down to 9 and picked Spencer Fanoh, I think, was the first surprise, the real surprise of the draft, the tackle out of Utah.
He's he's big. You know, he's strong, and he was probably the highest rated tackle. He's going back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw stuff with Moaga, you saw something with him. I thought the Miami kid was a little higher rated, but they went Fanoh.
And that left, as you just mentioned, Mariota,
however you pronounce it.
For the Giants at number 10 to join his little brother, or his big brother, or his older brother, I think, playing at MetLife. Because, of course, Kiko plays for the Jets, and now Francis Mariota plays for the Giants, the offensive tackle. He might switch inside the guard. But, again, the Giants needed some offensive line help.
A and B, that pick couldn't have gone in any faster. As soon as they realized that was it, that pick was done. And, Gino, talk to me about this 8 minutes. You sure about that 8 minutes?
Love the 8 minutes. Let me tell you. Small change from 10 to 8. I think it makes the world a difference. And you know what actually makes the difference is that by the time he's up there making the announcement, there's another minute and a half, 2 minutes that's going off. So you're only waiting 4 or 5 minutes before the pick's in. Listen, I'm loving this. This draft is flying. Right now they're on pick 13. I mean, it's just flying through right now.
Remember it's when crazy. They used to have 15 minutes?
Oh,
the first round, my God.
That first round took 5.5 hours. It was ridiculous.
Kev, you and I were at one of the drafts for 15 minutes.
Yes, we were.
We were there for, it felt like days, but it was one afternoon. But they did the first, second, and third round all of that first day at that time.
That was a long day.
I got one question for you guys. So Giants take Arvil Reese with the 5. I'm not arguing with the player because he's an excellent player. He's fantastic, but did the Giants really need another defensive line guy, edge guy? I was a little confused that they didn't go with Styles or Downs or Delaney, one of them. I was a little.
Reese can play linebacker. They can play him in a 4-3 outside. They can line him up in the edge. They may not want to give Thibodeau that fifth year. They may see him as the guy that replaces Thibodeau at the end because he hasn't exactly shown consistency in that way.
Kev? So, all right, go because we got to tackle this like right now. So go ahead.
So real quick, 11, Caleb Downs slips down to 11 to the Cowboys.
Who traded with the Dolphins to get him. I'm glad we don't have to face him in the division.
Thank God. 12, the Dolphins went with Caden Proctor, the big tackle from Alabama.
Proctor, a little police academy for everyone.
And at number 13, the LA Rams apparently have selected their who they think is their quarterback of the future.
So they trade with Atlanta. Right? This is the trade with Atlanta?
Yep.
Wow. I have not seen what the trade is. Does anybody have the trade yet?
I don't. But they had to give up. They moved up. So
they definitely moved up.
A considerable amount. And they go with Ty Simpson, who means that the Jets have no threat of taking a quarterback at 33, no threat of taking a quarterback at 16, and most likely no threat of taking a quarterback at 44. I'm just saying.
But I'm shocked that Simpson goes off at 13.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is that if they saw enough where they think that this guy's got the stuff, and they don't expect to be picking anywhere in the top 30 next, not top 10 next year or top 15 because they're the freaking Rams and they think they're going to win a Super Bowl every year because they have Stafford and Nacua if he's out of jail and everybody else on that defense. They might think this is their best chance to jump up and get someone that they think is the guy. I again, like you just said, Ty Simpson was up and down at Alabama, more down than up in some big games down the stretch, but there was never a question about his accuracy.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest question is going to be, you know, you go back to 2011, first-round quarterbacks with less than 17 starts, and that includes Ty Simpson now.
Yep.
Jake Locker.
Yep.
Christian Ponder.
Yep.
Anthony Richardson, the senior.
Yep.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Absolutely.
Yo Gabba Gabbert.
Yep.
Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Newton.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Dwayne. Yep. And Cam Newton.
Yep, that's it.
That's Cam, one Cam out of seven. Super Bowl. One out of seven. So
yeah, I know. It's listen, that's why we were concerned that Dante Moore was going to come out, because we were afraid that we were going to go get him at two. And we were like, well, the stats are not in our favor.
Yeah.
As a Jet fan. So
now, for the Rams' sake, you know, Stafford's still got at least one, maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this could very well be a Aaron Rodgers love type of situation. I mean, love Stafford 2 years. Or if we go back to Rodgers and Favre, who sat, you know, Rodgers sat for the first, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
I mean,
you can go back to Mahomes, who sat for a full year behind, what's his face, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
You know, you could go to that, too. Doesn't happen often, and Gino will always be the one to tell you, if you're going to draft him this high, you got to play him. But, you know, but the Rams are not playing him this year unless Stafford gets hurt. There's no chance.
Yeah. I mean their draft
season falls apart somehow.
I mean, their quarterback room was what? Gunnar Stockton, was it, I think, was the other guy in there?
So I believe so.
Or Stetson Bennett.
Oh, no, Stetson Bennett, because Gunnar Stockton was still there in Georgia this year, my bad.
That's right, yeah. I knew it was one of those bad SEC quarterbacks.
One of those two last-name guys.
Yeah. I mean, what's the difference between Bennett and Stockton, really? Come on.
Yeah, you know, it's the way it works.
But, you know, like I said, if you're the Rams, I mean, my goodness, if you really like Simpson, and like you said, Darren, they're not drifting anywhere high, you wouldn't think in the next couple of years. So, depending on what they gave up, perfect chance for Simpson to sit back and learn.
No, exactly. And that's exactly what's going to happen for him. And you know what? Listen, he was the only quarterback that's there, I think, right? Because, you know, Mendoza was home because his mom's ailing. And, you know, that whole thing, they were trying to convince him to go. He wanted to celebrate with his family. I don't blame him. And we talked very little about him, but he's a classy kid. And the part of you likes wants to see Mendoza do well, just not against your team.
Right. 14, the Ravens just picked. They picked up, obviously, Samoan guy from Penn State.
Oh, the interior lineman. You're ahead.
Olava Vega Ione.
Thank you for trying, Gino.
Listen, it is a
you weren't gonna try. I had to try.
he's the best interior offensive lineman in the draft.
Yep.
And the Ravens, listen, part of me was hoping he slipped to the Jets, but now what it looks like is that, you know, there's a chance that Lemon slips to the Jets here. If he does, that would be great.
Well, the Tampa Bay pick is already in. So I don't know if they rushed up to draft Lemon to try to fill the void at receiver.
Yeah, no, which they could easily do. They could easily do that. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on here in the draft, and it's a little faster and more furious than we used to. We thought we'd have a lot more time to kind of do the show along with the draft, and it's been a little bit faster than we thought.
Yeah.
You know, we had the two giant picks. We got one more pick for the Jets. We're excited to see what happens there, and that'll be a big deal. You know, for them, you know, the Jets need to make these picks count. As we've seen so far, somewhat impressed with the what Muji has done. So we're hoping that impressive nature continues with this draft. We thought last year's draft was pretty good. So and all the draft capital he picked up. So we're gonna find out, right?
Yep.
And that's pretty much all we can do. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll jump in with the Jets as we go, but we're all caught up on the draft right now. Now that Gino pronounced the full name. of the last kid taken, and then we'll just jump in as the draft comes in. So where are we going next, boys?
So over in the NBA, Knicks, they're tied 1-1 in games. Game three is tonight. They're playing right now. About, I don't know, 3 minutes left. Knicks are down two.
They've been down the whole game, G.
Listen, this is the closest they've been in a long time. At one point, it was 12. It was 14. It was 18. Yeah, it's now two.
It was 18. You might have saw a high. It was 54-36 at one point.
18 was the highest I saw.
Okay.
I mean, hopefully they can come back like the Hawks did to them at game two. I mean, that was just a terrible loss in game two.
Well, listen, talk about it, Kev.
Well, you know, I mean, game one, nice, comfortable win. Double digits.
Close
to the fourth quarter, better team. Game two, again, they led by 12 after three, and it looked like it was going to be the same type of game as game one. And then C.J. McCollum decided to lead them to a comeback. He scored 32. Hit a couple of big shots late, gave him the lead. And then with 5.6 left, he missed both foul shots with a one-point lead. And the Knicks still had a chance. Unfortunately, they did not have a timeout, so they had to bring the ball down. And Bridges missed a jumper at the buzzer.
And you got to love the fact that the announcers didn't know how many timeouts were left. They flashed one up. They didn't have it.
Yeah.
The crowd's like, how come they're not calling the time? The announcers don't know. The scoreboard doesn't know. Whoever the statistician was really dropped the ball on that one. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
The last 6 minutes of game two, I felt like I was watching St. John's all over again. Missing shots, missing layups, missing free throws.
And we missed a pair as well, like you said.
God, they were driving me freaking crazy. Towns only got 12 shots in that game. He's got to get more shots than that. I'm sorry.
And the thing is that the fourth quarter became the Brunson show again, where he just over dribbling until that trap comes. And once that trap comes, then all of a sudden he's too small and it becomes a challenge. And that's kind of really where we are. And it's like the Knicks need to listen, it's game two of the first series. You know, I was hoping to be a short series. There's no guarantee that it will be, obviously. If you're a Knicks fan, you're hoping to get out of here with a split and get go 2-2 back to the Garden. Because it's Atlanta's playing really good basketball right now, as you said, as we both said going into it last week. So now,
I think in our Facebook posts, you know, I even said, you know, as a Knicks fan, you're really hoping for five. You want this to be easy. You want it to be over so it doesn't drag out. But I said I'm afraid this could actually go seven. And, you know, with these first three games, it's looking like it could very well be a long series.
Yeah, we're going to find out. We have a very interesting end here to game three, so we'll keep an eye on that. Any other series standing out to you guys?
I think, you know, just looking at the East, Detroit's 1-1 against the Magic. You know, Orlando came out, stole game one. And I think that was a little bit of – they did a good job in the play-in. They crushed the Hornets by 31, so I think they had a little momentum. And Detroit wasn't ready for them. But Detroit bounced back with a nice win in game two. Boston and the Sixers are 1-1. Thanks to, for the Sixers, game two, VJ Edgecombe, the rookie.
Yep.
He had a 30-point, 10-rebound game. The first rookie to do it since some guy named Tim Duncan.
He was on fire.
Yep.
And he was the other explosive East series, Baylor is explosive now.
And the other East series is Cleveland. They won two comfortable games over the Raptors.
And right now they're down in game three, but it's only the third quarter, and it's the NBA, so that doesn't mean anything. The thing that stood out to me was Philly kind of controlled Boston in game two. And in game one, you didn't know where Detroit was going to get that other score because Kate got his 39, and they still lost. And they lost comfortably in that game. So Orlando got the split that they needed, I think, and that was pretty much a big deal.
NFL real quick, Tampa Bay just picked Reuben Bain Jr., the edge out of Miami.
Okay.
Jets are on the clock.
At least the Jets have shot to get Lemon, and we're going to find out what that is. And if they get him, he would be that other receiver.
Yep.
You're the party in the back of your heads, like with all the first-round picks, can they get Jeremiah Smith next year? You don't even worry about this crap. But – you know, can't think that far in advance.
They need the ones next year for the quarterback.
Yeah, pretty much. That was pretty much just sealed.
Update update. Nick update. 103 left in the game. Knicks are up 2. Brunson going to the line, up 2.
Thank you, Gino.
They've come back. Out west, Kev.
Yeah, real quick. OKC's up 2 over the Suns. 2 easy wins for them. The 2-7 matchup, San Antonio and the Blazers. Spurs won game 1. The Blazers came back, won by 3 in game 2. The big story out of that one is Wembanyama with the concussion. He's
questionable for game 3. They don't even know if he's going to play game 3 right now.
Yeah, he's progressing through it. He did travel with the team out to Portland, so that's a good sign. And, you know, like I said, they'll have to go through the protocol and see how he does for game 3. Right now, like I said, it's questionable.
By the way, watching a little bit of the Knick game, seeing Starks and Ewing and Houston sitting together watching this game is really kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because that's like the, you know, they never won the championship, and I get it. But it's really freaking nice to see those guys out there rooting on the Knicks on the road. I enjoy that. Anyway, I apologize.
No, that's fine. Denver and the T-Wolves 1-1. Denver expected won game 1, and the T-Wolves came back win game 2. Ant Edwards has done a nice job with the Wolves there.
Listen, that was a series that you thought was going to go – I thought it was going to go 7. It's an even series. Jake?
Timeout. So the Jet pick is in already. Goodell was hugging Reuben Bain Jr., and the Jet pick is in already. They haven't come up to the podium yet. Yeah. But that was awfully damn fast, let me tell you. Forget about the 8 minutes, Darren. That was fast. Who do you think it is, Darren?
Mike Haight. Or Dave Cadigan. Or Jeff Lagerman. I'm hoping it's Lemon. Let's see what happens.
Yep. So while we're waiting for that, just to wrap up the NBA. So the last series out west is the Lakers. They're up, I think, somewhat surprisingly 2-0 over the Rockets.
Very surprising. No Doncic, no Austin Reeves. That's real. That's a real surprise for me. But also,
Durant didn't play game 1 either, so you got to look at that too.
Yep. I'll give. You know, I don't like LeBron, but my goodness, 19-13-8 game 1, 28-7-8 game 2. He's playing great, and Luke Kennard stepped up. 27-23 to give him that second guy. So LA's up 2-0. Let's go back to Houston with Durant with a game under his belt. Let's see if the Rockets can give them some challenge.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is that of all the series, right, 3 of them are 2-0. 2 of them are the 4-5.
Yeah.
The other one is the best team in basketball up 2. But two of them are 4-5, which is you don't expect, you know, and you know. We also had the moment last night in the Phoenix Oklahoma City game. They called the technical. Caruso begged for a technical on a play that Booker's trying to save the ball. No violence in the play at all, and the ref gives him the tech. And you're like, now the players get to call technicals on their opponents, and Booker named the official in his complaints, knowing he was going to get fined, and said he did not care. Because there has to be accountability on all ends, and I kind of agree with him. I hope he doesn't get fined. I know he will, but it's not like he can't afford it. He's Devin Booker, but you know he's an 11-year veteran. He deserves to get you know a little bit of a benefit of doubt when you're as good a player as Devin Booker is.
Yeah.
All right. Before the pick gets announced, who do you guys want with this pick here?
Lemon.
You want Lemon?
Jets need a wide receiver. This is the guy that you kind of thought. You didn't think Tate was going to get to you. You didn't think Tyson was going to get to you. This is the guy you were hoping got to you. Unless Muji knows something we don't know, I think it should be Lemon. But you guys are ahead of me, so you're going to tell me when the pick comes in.
It's in. Goodell's up. He's announcing it as we speak.
It's not Lemon.
It's not
Lemon. It is Kenyon Sadiq.
They went with the tight end. Wow. Listen, he's a unique talent.
Yeah, he certainly
is. Very unique. He's a very fast guy. He's for a tight end, he's not that 6'6", huge guy. He's 6'3". He's a hell of a player. They drafted Mason Taylor last year. Didn't think tight end would be the spot they'd go, but they did. So I think we might see a lot of two tight ends with the Jets.
I think so.
I don't think that it's a bad pick. I just don't know. If it was a need pick, but listen, I've been impressed with Muji through one season. I don't know how you feel about him, Kev.
Yeah.
I've been impressed. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. A little surprised, but like I said, also have a horrible interview thing. So let's not forget that, too.
We're going back and forth real quick, but the Knicks are down one with 12 and a half seconds left on the clock with ball. God, please don't do this to me two games in a row. Jesus Christmas, come on.
And the thing about it is, that's funny, is that, you know, we got a nice air ball from Brunson on the last possession. They're going to need to do something on this one here.
Kenyon Sadiq.
Listen, he's a good player, but it's not exactly what we thought, Kev.
No. Yeah. I mean, like you said, a lot too tight end. You can definitely do things, especially with the talent of Taylor and Sadiq receiving wise.
They might think Denzel Boston's sitting there at 33 and they're going to get him and gives him that tall receiver. They might think that that's the guy they can get at 33 and they know they couldn't get Sadiq at that level. And that could be the thought process where there might be another wide receiver that they like. And listen, we won't find that out till tomorrow morning. Or tomorrow night, I should say.
I want to do like the noise. Nick update.
Where's the update, G?
Brunson dribbled badly. Ball was taken away. Knicks lose 109-108. They are now down 2-1.
You fight all the way back, and you can't get all the way over the hump. Game two, Bridges has the shot to win it, but doesn't hit it. Not that I'm blaming it all on Bridges, but he didn't hit it. And in game three, the over-dribbling of Brunson down the stretch on two straight possessions.
Brunson had the ball, dribbled inside, had a second guy on him, went to pass it outside, nobody's there, and the Hawks just take the ball away.
And that is it.
That's what we want.
Wow.
And now we...
That's terrifying right now that they're down 2-1 at this point.
No, it's not good.
And it's 2 1-point games. It's really been, wow.
Yeah. All right, NFL draft continues as we speak. Let's head over to NHL, Kev. A couple of updates.
Yeah, we'll start with the East. Buffalo-Boston
1-1. 2-1. Buffalo just won tonight.
Buffalo just won tonight. There you go. On the road
Buffalo's
again.
Buffalo's up 2-1. I have Buffalo in our pool. Therefore, I am very much in with Buffalo. Gino has Boston in our pool. So we are head-to-head in round one. Buffalo won 3-1. This has been, by the way, a very fun series, physical, but also the crowd in Buffalo, because they hadn't tasted playoff hockey in 15 years, was simply electric the other night. And there's something about watching playoff hockey that just is unlike any other playoff sport, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We know Boston's not getting through.
I had Bruins in six.
I have Buffalo in seven.
So I have what happens. Full, which means they're not winning because I never get out of the first round. Elsewhere, go ahead, Jeff.
Lightning and Canadiens have split a couple of overtime games. Canadiens win the first one 4-3. Tampa Bay coming back 3-2. Game one, 5 power play goals in the game, including Slavoski in overtime to complete the hat trick. That was on the power play. You don't see too many power play overtime goals in the NHL. That's been the story, I think, for the playoffs, and we'll get to a couple of other series. And then game two is Kucherov tying it in the third and Moser winning it in overtime.
Yeah, a weird wraparound from Kucherov. That was a big shot to tie it up, and then overtime he barely held it in and was able to skate all the way up and hit the game winner. Very exciting stuff, actually. Great game.
Yep. Metropolitan, you've got Carolina up 2-0 over the Senators. Yep.
Because it's playoff hockey, they drop the puck. Kachuk and Staal go at it. First second of the first game of the playoffs. That's what playoff hockey is. I'm sorry. It is. Listen, watching Buffalo Boston is like watching an old Adams Division battle. It's fantastic. And watching Kachuk go at it in the first seconds with Staal was outstanding. They drop the puck. They drop the gloves because they're setting the tone. This is what we love about hockey. They don't care. Yeah. They're just, you know, big guys that just like the wail on each other. It's outstanding. Sorry, Kev.
No, that's fine. Game two, 3-2 in double overtime. Double overtime goal scored by Jordan Martinuk.
Yep.
After missing the penalty shot in the first overtime, he was on a breakaway. They hooked him from behind. He went down. They called a penalty shot, and he missed it.
And the thing about it is they would have rather had the power play.
Yeah.
The penalty shot so hard with these goalies are so damn good.
And then the series that is just a total shock to me, the Keystone State battle, the Flyers 3-0 over the Penguins.
Dan Vladar, okay, I watched him play a lot in Calgary as a backup. Suddenly, all of a sudden, he's emerged as a goalie. The Stuart Skinner, Dan Vladar goalie matchup was one that I was looking forward to of 8-5, 8-6 type games. But to watch Vladar play as well as he has been shocking. I thought this series was going 7. I had Pittsburgh as a home ice. 3-0 Philly.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you talk about playoff hockey, you know, game 3, early second period, scrum on the ice, 11 minors. And to me, I watched some of that. I don't know how Philly came out with the power play on that.
And did you see how many guys were in the box? There was no room for anybody to sit.
5 on each.
It was outstanding.
It was a party.
I didn't have power play on it either, but they did, and then they're finding a way.
Yeah.
Philly was playing well down the stretch, and it's carried over for them.
Yeah. Out west, the Avalanche, a couple of 2-1 wins over the Kings.
You know, the Kings have played well in this series. Goalie, and I'm blanking on his name for a second, I'm sorry, has been outstanding for the Kings. Colorado's got so much talent, G. Yeah. Every time they skate up, every time McCarr has it on a stick or McKinnon, you feel like they're going to score. It's like, and they haven't, they haven't been great in the series, but my goodness, it's been just really, really good hockey. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's been outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, that happens. Forsberg's the goalie. I'm sorry, I couldn't think of his name for a second. But he's been outstanding, but they just don't have as much talent. They had the fewest amount of wins of any playoff team in years. They lost so many overtime games, they gave him points.
Yeah.
And that they had a losing record and got in.
And you know, two, I think, of the top 7 teams in the league are playing in the first round, Dallas and the Wild, and that's 2-1 Dallas. That's been a wild series, no pun intended. Minnesota wins game 1-6-1. Dallas has come back to win games 2 and 3. Game 3, double overtime, 4-3. Wyatt Johnston on the power play after the minor for the puck over the glass. Double overtime, 4 minors called in the 2 overtimes.
You got to love it, man. You got to love it. And Johnston's that kind of kid that scores a lot of those overtime goals. Him and Robertson both have that kind of feel to them, you know?
Yep.
It's like Aho with Carolina. There's certain guys that they get the puck on their stick and then overtime, and you think they're going to score every freaking time. And Wyatt Johnson's one of those guys.
Vegas and Utah, go Mammoth. Because I have them in our pool here.
Absolutely. You're hanging in there.
1-1. Vegas wins game 1 with 3 goals in the third. Game 2, Logan Cooley, the game winner. Interesting thing about him, he scored in each of the first 2 games. At 21 years old, he becomes the youngest American to score goals in his first 2 playoff games.
That's a really cool stat. Thing is that Vegas went to Torts late.
Yep.
I mean, Torts is probably reading them the Riot Act right now as we speak after they lose team game 2 at home.
I'm sure they are.
Just one of those pleasant guys to be around. He always doesn't outlast the welcome there, so to speak. He's usually gone pretty quick. But if for a quick motivation, he's the guy.
Another high-scoring series here. Edmonton and the Ducks are tied 1-1. Games, Edmonton wins 4-3, lose 6-4. Darren, I know you're loving watching.
Oh, the Ducks coming back in game 2 is a thrill for me. I have nobody to root for, so I have one team to root against. That's it. I hate the Flyers too, but I really, really, really hate the Edmonton Oilers. And you know what? The Ducks are hanging in, and McDavid getting hurt. That leaves things, the door a little ajar for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in a few years.
Yep.
This isn't your uncle's Teemu Selänne Ducks.
Teemu Selänne.
Any other points on the hockey playoffs?
Listen, no, they're moving right along.
Exactly. We have some good series. Again, it's not appointment television for us because we don't have anybody that we really root for. But every series I put on and every game I put on has been hard-hitting and fun to watch. And you know what? I'm really into the Boston Buffalo, not just because we have to against each other, G, but because the Buffalo crowd was really, really electric. Carolina's up a goal late in the midway through the third against Ottawa. They have a chance of going up 3-0 here, too. And every game's been a one-goal game there, too. So a lot of good hockey.
All right. We'll move over to baseball before we get there. So after the Jets took Sadiq, Offensive tackle Blake Miller went to Detroit. Caleb Banks went to the Vikings. Those are the two picks that have happened.
Makes sense.
We'll move over to baseball. So we'll start off with the Yankees. We'll give Kev's voice a chance to recover after the NHL updates. Yankees are at 16-9. They've won the last six. They're 8-2 last 10. A little sweep here. The Red Sox happening. Listen, when you're getting pitching the way they're getting, when the starters are pitching like this between Fried and Schlittler and Weathers and Warren and Heel, you're going to win games. There's that's what's going to happen. I will tell you, do you like seeing Ahmad Rosario play a little bit?
I was going to compliment you. You brought it up last week, Gino. It was on my list to say, Gene, call for Ahmad Rosario, and Ahmad Rosario is hitting, and McMahon was not. So there's something really, really cool to see with that. I'm going to make a shake it up a little bit, didn't you? I'm sorry, what was that, Kev?
You had to shake it up a little bit, didn't you? I mean, the guy was
hitting. Oh, thank God. I mean, you had an automatic out in the lineup. How much can you do with that? I mean, you know, there's enough. Caballero, you can live with Caballero if you have someone that at least is a threat to get a hit on the other side. And Wells hasn't hit yet. And, you know, there's a bunch of things that you're waiting for. But the one thing I'm going to say, because Schlittler, again, he went 8 tonight. Didn't even throw 100 pitches. And this is not an indictment on the other player I'm going to mention, but because Nolan McLean has become must-watch television, right? Yeah. He's electric. But I would argue that Schlittler right now is the better pitcher right now, and that McLean just has more of a live arm. I think once McLean learns how to pitch like Schlittler at a young age has learned how to pitch, because it's hard not to be impressed with the way this kid has pitched in the playoffs and really the start of his career. Both of these guys are great, and it's going to be fun to watch him. McLean has the upside, in my opinion, because the stuff is so electric. Yeah. But right now, I think Schlittler has gotten down, had to go 8 instead of going 6 and striking everybody out. And it's something that's nice to see. You know, you go to the Boston where this guy's been getting death threats, which is ridiculous. I mean, you know, he's going to get a couple of whack jobs.
Yeah.
But he's a young kid because he's from the area, grew up a Sox fan, got drafted by the Yankees. Not his fault. Thank God he did. But, you know, he went out there tonight with 8 innings. 5 hits, 1 earned run, you know, struck out 5. You know, he's doing everything right. Fried has been the ace that they need with everything that's going on, G. Heel actually had a really nice start the other day. Weathers, you really haven't been able to count on consistently yet. We'll see what happens. But Gerrit Cole had a hell of a start tonight in his first, rehab start. So that's a nice thing to see. You know, he's on the horizon. You know, Rodon's on the horizon. The Yankees' depth at the rotation is pretty good. The pen still makes you a little nervous. Bednar came in and shut the door again tonight, though. So the guy in the ninth has been good, G.
I got a trade over for you. Devin Williams back to the Yankees, please.
Listen, what I explained to you was that trusting Devin in the ninth is a little scary. Now, listen, he also is a guy that has a lot of stuff, and grip in the cold weather may not be his thing. So let's see what happens in May before we sound the alarm too bad, but Gino and I were not too impressed with Devin last year as a Yankee. He did have a couple months where he looked really good, and he had a couple months where he looked really bad, April being one of them for both now the Mets and the Yankees. So we'll find out.
We got one more week in the month of April before we turn the page to May. I've seen enough of Randall Grichuk, and maybe the move is when Volpe comes off the IL, that's the move. They release Grichuk. That looks like it could be the move. You know, I can't get crazy because they're 16-9, but Wells, Chisholm, McMahon are all not even hitting 200. And at some point, listen, Chisholm homered today. You know, he's got, 8 stolen bases already. You know, I don't think I'm worried about him. Wells has got to hit a little bit.
He came up bases loaded tonight, struck out, and, you know, looking awful. I mean, you know, there's just, you know, there's work to be done. Again, I'll keep harping on the pen. The bottom of the order is going to have to hit for them to go far.
Such complaints of being 16-9.
Kev, how does it feel to have that 12-game losing streak for the first time since 2002?
Oh, wonderful.
It's over now. You got a 2-game winning streak.
Oh, my one game winning streak.
Oh, they lost tonight?
No, but they are tied 7-7 in the 8th.
It was 7-2. I stopped watching. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I wasn't trying to be a jerk, Kev. I really wasn't. I didn't know.
Bases loaded, two outs in the bottom of the eighth here for the Mets.
Bo Bichette, bases clearing double off the great Anthony Banda.
Okay, so there you go. So the Mets are up 10-7 in the bottom of the eighth, Darren.
And there you go. The Mets are going to get a two-game winning streak.
Kev?
Yeah, Soto comes back from the calf injury. Lindor on the DL with the – or IL, excuse me. Where, IL or DL? No, IL.
It's IL. You were right.
Calf injury here. You know, interesting stats I saw for Lindor. And I don't know if you can do this with other players. His 10-year career. In games his team has won, 950 OPS. Games his teams have lost, a 638 OPS. Have you ever heard of that much of a difference? I mean, I know it's not a common stat.
I haven't looked it up, but that seems pretty severe to me.
That does. I agree.
And last year, 999 versus 610. The year before that, when he was in the MVP discussion, 1084 versus 534.
Wow.
So when Lindor hits, this team wins. When he doesn't hit, this team loses.
Interesting stat for tonight, Christian.
Maybe you could,
and he gave up. Then he got out.
You could phrase that the other way, Kev, which is unless the Mets are winning, he's not getting on base.
Or that way.
That's some drastic gaps, though.
Yeah.
Wow. That's surprised. A drastic change.
I mean, overall, worst on base percentage in baseball as a team. Only two teams swing more frequently. Only three teams are swinging at a higher percentage outside the strike zone. I mean, the offense.
Darren, I'm sorry I interrupted you. What were you going to say about Scott?
He had five walks and only retired four batters.
Yeah. Another.
And then you bring Peterson in and out of the pen. I don't understand what this team does.
You use Myers and Peterson tonight anyway. They piggybacked Sunday and did a nice job. I know you hold them back. I mean, they're giving Senga some extra time. You're holding him back to Saturday, so you want to make sure you have probably Manaea to piggyback Senga the way he's been going. But why are you bringing up Christian Scott, fresh off a year and a half of rehab for Tommy John, based on three starts and 13 innings in AAA? Make it make sense, please.
The other things that are exciting is that they bring in Kimbrel with the lead and then Brazoban, which they didn't learn enough about Brazoban last year, so he has to be in high leverage spots again this year, which is fun.
Well, who's going to lose? Weaver did a great job last night, which was a nice surprise. Williams you can't trust right now. Where else are you going?
I don't know. There's nothing to like.
By the way, Kev, Stern says, F you, I'm smarter than you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should Mendy be gone, Kev? That's the question. Should Mendy be out?
You're going to have to just to shake things up. But this is the team Stern's put together. Brazoban stays in for the ninth inning. Oh, my God. But, I mean, Mendoza, look at Sunday's game. First, Williams blew it in the ninth. 1-1 going to the tenth. Mets don't score, of course. Ghost runner on, Kimberlin pitching. Strikes out the first batter, the wild pitch in there. So you got runner on third, one out. Nico Horner, who's been the Cubs' hottest hitter.
Best hitter on the team right now.
Michael Busch hitting 164 behind him. Alex Bregman hitting 233. And then the pitcher spot. Who the hell do you pitch to in that situation? Not Nico Horner. Gabriel leaves the fastball out over the plate. Horner goes the other way. Fly ball. Game over.
The funny part is I'm blanking on the hitter that was trying to get the bunt down. And he fouled Dansby two Swanson. In the air. It was Dansby Swanson. That's right. And so he strikes him out. And you're like, all right, he held him at second. You know, whatever. And then the wild pitch, he gets the third anyway. Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God. And you say, there's no way he's pitching the Horner. But he pitches the Horner.
Yeah.
It made absolutely no sense. I mean, we saw things, you know, Vientos throwing a third. You see some weird things that go on in big spots here. Eagles traded up for Mekhi Lemon, by the way, because, you know, that means he's going to be good because we can't hear enough about Howie Roseman.
Well,
he is every freaking year.
What that also means is that the A.J. Brown trade rumor for June 1st is going to happen.
No doubt about it.
So
what are you thinking about?
They'll have Devonta Smith with With Mekhi Lemon now.
Absolutely. Kev? What are you shaking about, Kev?
Going from bad to worse. Brazoban gets the first out. 3-run lead. Let's go with Devin Williams now.
They want to build his confidence.
Oh, God. Basically,
see what happens.
Load him up. Grand slam. Boom.
Don't be that way. Don't be that way. A couple other quick baseball points if you're done with the Mets, Kev.
I'm done.
Jordan Alvarez, 11 homers. Murakami with 10. Hit 5 straight games where he hit a home run, which is pretty interesting.
I have him in all 3 fantasy leagues.
He's doing well. Alvarez leads the league in ribbies. Sal Stewart in second. Coming on.
Gio's pick for rookie of the year.
I picked Murakami as well. That was my pick.
No, Sal Stewart.
Oh, I had Murakami. Jose Soriano's been ridiculous, by the way. If you've watched anything that he's done, we've never seen this good a Jose Soriano. And Mason Miller, now up to 33 2/3 of scoreless innings. Coming into today, he had 11 walks and 69 Ks in those 32 2/3. He didn't strike anybody out today. He didn't walk anybody, but he did give up his 9th hit during that stretch. Oh, the batting average going in today was 0.59. Also comes out the blind by Korn, which is really becoming one of the best entrances that you'll see now.
It definitely is.
Which is pretty cool. It's early. The stats are early. But, you know, the Yankees are trending well. The Mets, if they hold on tonight, start the streak. We'll see what happens. G?
So looking at a couple of the records around the majors, some surprising records that I was looking. Houston's 10-16. Kansas City, who we all thought was going to be at least pretty good, 8-17 right now.
Yep.
Philly, 8-17.
They've lost, what, 8 or 9 in a row now?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good about my Braves winning that American National League. Yeah.
There we go, 5.5.
Mets before today were 8-16. On the other plus side, Atlanta, 18-8, Darren, before today. 18-8. Wow.
I didn't think that good. I had the Phillies still getting to the World Series, I think.
And amongst all the powerhouses in the American League East, I don't think I had Tampa Bay at 13-11 at this point.
Now, Boston's been bad. Toronto has not been good.
Yeah. So, Baltimore hasn't been good either.
Baltimore's battled. I mean, I'll give them that. You know, what 9 of the best of the top 10 records in baseball are National League teams at this point.
Yeah, that's the team with the most wins in the American League is the Yankees with 16.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I got a couple of treasures if you guys are up for them.
Hit it.
1994, Kev, you remember it well. Brett Saberhagen had more wins than walks, 14-13, in 177 innings pitched.
Yeah.
On this date in 1954, Hank Aaron hit the first of those 755 home runs.
Wow.
So we go back to that. Frank Tanana, one of Gino's favorite back in the day, used to have that baseball card everywhere he went, tossed 14 straight complete games between April 29 and July 3rd of 1977, including a 10-inning and 11-inning game. Last one was on his 24th birthday. Then he hurt his shoulder and was never quite the same pitcher again.
Yeah.
Little trivia for you guys. There are two colleges that have had the number one pick in the NFL draft, the NBA draft, and the MLB draft. Any guesses?
LSU.
That's one. Do you know who they were, Kev?
I'm going to say Burrow.
Burrow, Jamarcus Russell, and Bill Cannon, which none of us would have had.
Oh, I was going to go Shaq.
Shaq is number one. No, I'm talking about that was football.
Oh,
and okay. Basketball is Shaq and Ben Simmons, so you got that.
And baseball was Skeens.
Skeens and Ben McDonald. Very good.
Ben McDonald, okay.
And now the other school.
Texas.
Jay, any guess?
No.
UCLA.
UCLA.
So UCLA had Kareem, Bill Walton, and David Greenwood. Garrett Cole and Troy Aikman.
Wow.
So okay. Those are the only two schools that have had all three of those sports. I thought that was an interesting one.
Yep.
A couple other quick things. Just one with baseball. The passing of Garrett Anderson, guys. Listen, Garrett Anderson never got his due. He's younger than all of us. He was a great hitter. He had 2,529 hits, the most in Angels history. 1,084 runs, second most in Angels history. 1,365 ribbies, most in Angels history. 287 home runs, third most in Angels history. Led the team in games, at bats, doubles. Was a 296 lifetime hitter. Had a sweet swing. A really sweet swing. Always a good player. Never someone you thought was great, but something that was very good. And died at 53 years old. Just a shame, guys. But we all watched pretty much his entire career.
His whole career, yeah.
And, I was stunned to hear about the passing of Garrett Anderson. While we're on the passings, we also had Oscar Schmidt pass.
Yeah.
And Oscar Schmidt was probably the first guy I ever noticed as a real elite foreign-born player before they all came into the NBA.
Yep.
But he had that Pan Am games where he scored 46 to beat the David Robinson-led USA team in Indianapolis in 1987 at 35 in the second half, nicknamed Mo Santo, Gino, which, as you always say, holy hand. Listen, he was a great player, died at 68 years old. Again, not a very old man doing that, but a shame to see that happen. Those are the two passings I had.
Okay. Anything else, Kev?
Yeah, I've got a couple of gems. You mentioned Murakami with his 5-game home run streak. It ended tonight. So it tied the rookie record for home run streak, tied the record for Japanese players with Shohei, tied the Chicago White Sox franchise record with 6 other guys, all since 1980. And you realize, damn, Chicago's had some decent home run hitters.
They really have.
Can you take a guess at any of them? Frank Thomas won.
Canerco
did.
Harold Baines?
Nope.
Robin Ventura?
Nope.
Greg Luzinski?
Luzinski.
One
other from back in that area.
Wasn't Lamar Johnson. He was a little earlier. Nope. Kittle?
Ron Kittle's 4. Carlos Lee would be between Frank Thomas and Canerco.
Wow.
Would be Carlos Lee.
Carlos Lee. That's a good one. Oh, that's a good one.
And the last guy to do it was A.J. Pruszynski.
A.J. Pruszynski.
Thought of him as a power-hitting guy like that.
Yeah.
He was just kind of like a prick that everybody wanted to fight all the time.
And the last 4 of his 5 straight games with a home run, Colson Montgomery, his teammate, had home runs in 4 straight games. They are the first pair of teammates to ever do that.
That's awesome.
Wow.
The White Sox have broken it down and trying to build it back up. And I think the signing of Murakami is a nice step for them, because they wanted to have someone at least that the fans would go watch.
Yep. Just real quick, Mike Trout last week against the Yankees. What a series
he had. Oh, God, he was great.
375, 5 home runs, 9 RBIs, 8 runs. Only one other player has ever done that, those reached those numbers in a 4-game series. Babe Ruth in 1921.
Wow.
Gino was at 2 of those games. The other thing was that the Yankees going into that series had allowed 4 home runs the entire season.
Wow.
Trout hit 5 by himself in that 4-game stretch. He was on fire. And, you know, it's fun to watch Mike Trout playing like this.
Yeah.
Mike Trout's a guy that we all want to see, I think, a little bit in the postseason, just to have a shot to watch him in a big spot. It's like, you know, he's one of those guys that was great, then he's been off and injured lately. Carolina goes up 3-0, by the way. That game just ends.
Williams gave up a run. It's 10-8, 2 outs running run. my obscure game of the week from the minor leagues, AAA. The Gwinnett Stripers, the Braves AAA team, beat the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the Marlins AAA team, 2-0. Spencer Strider on the rehab assignment and 3 relievers combined on the one-hit shutout.
Okay.
Braxton Garrett for Gwinnett. For the Jumbo Shrimp, the Marlins starter, 8 no-hit innings. Gave up 2 runs in the 6.
Oh, my God.
hit by pitch. A wild pitch. He didn't cover home, so the runner scored. Threw the ball away on a pickoff attempt for a runner to get the 3rd, and the guy scored on a sacrifice fly.
Oh, my God.
So in that game, a 2-0 game, there are as many errors, 3, as combined runs and hits.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's crazy.
And that's my obscure. And I think that should be a weekly thing. My obscure game of the week. I've had three.
Love the obscure game. You should bring it in every week. Just so you guys know, Trevor Bauer pitched here on the island on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
39 degrees. It's cold. But Duck Stadium was sold out for this one. Very exciting stuff. Kev, shaking your head, tell us what happened, because I don't have that game on. I'm watching hockey.
Devin Williams, double, runner second and third with two outs, still up two.
Who's up?
Don't know who's up yet.
Trevor Larnach.
Huh? You should be able to get away with it. I like what I've seen.
Trevor.
Tonight. He got one of the outs.
Trevor Larnach is next up on the lineup. He should be coming up to the plate. Darren.
Yes.
That was Buxton just. Oh, yeah, Larnach. Yep.
Gino's like, don't doubt me. I'm looking at it.
We are 2 hours into the NFL draft. They have made 22 picks already.
Wow.
It's great. It really is great.
They are 10 picks away from ending the first round. It may end before 11 o'clock. I don't think that's ever happened in my life.
Oh, that's awesome. I have one last horse racing point for you guys tonight. So the Derby's next week, and we're going to break it down. We're going to give you a little bit on all the horses. We're going to tell you who to bet and why and make our picks for the Derby next week. But this past weekend, we had the Oaklawn Handicap. And the reason why this was interesting, six-horse field, but Sovereignty and Journalism get the hookup again.
Wow.
And what a race it was until 7-year-old White Barrio blew by him both in the stretch and beat the 2 4-year-olds in the Oaklawn Heritage. And if you get a chance to watch it, it's a great three-horse race. All three of them hung around in the front. You expect White Barrio up there. The other two you expect to be a little bit further back. Sovereignty was able to hold off Journalism, but White Barrio, who we've seen many times, Kev, has went right down the center of the track and took both horses, and he was the winner of the Oaklawn Handicap. So you never know what's going to happen in horse racing. We'll give you our Derby picks next week. We'll give you a reason why. That's all I got. You guys have anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this shindig up?
No, that's it.
All right. We're the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino. Talk about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where Kevin is forced to watch Devin Williams with a 3-run lead and one out and nobody on in the 9th inning. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, anywhere you can get it, either with Spotify, TuneIn, Apple product, whatever you like. We've been posting on social. We're going to be posting more on social. Please like it. Please share it. If you're a Knicks fan, please tell us why that they should have to do something different if the Mike Brown thing is done. Kev's celebrating. What happened?
Devin Williams struck a guy out. He struck out Larnach.
Devin Williams gets the save. Kevin goes to bed with a 2-game lead. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.